In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. So, unlike the 8 o'clock crowd, I'm going to guess most of you know what Instagram is. And if you don't know what Instagram is, it's one of those newfangled social media things, and that's all you need to know. So, overheard LA Instagram this week, one of my favorites accounts, had a post that not only made me chuckle, but stuck with me as I began to think where it applied in other areas of my life and where it might apply in my Christian life. The post was Obituaries for Instagram Captions. It cited several overly used captions that would be quite familiar to those of us in social media. And the point of writing an obituary for them so they would never be used again was that these captions were trite, overused, and worst of all, inauthentic. One example I will give you is posting where you are by saying, "Woke up in Hawaii," like you didn't know you were in Hawaii? Like, is this really a surprise? I don't think it quite counts as a humble brag, but it did get me thinking about phrases we use in the church that I would like to retire also, perhaps write an obituary for them. And often these phrases, I do not like them because they are bad theology, such as, "God just needed another angel." No. Or, "God doesn't give you more than you can handle." Again, no, God doesn't work that way. If you feel that way, come and talk to me, Reverend Stephen, Reverend Patty. We would love to have that discussion with you. Or the misuse of the word blessed to imply that God granted you something that you didn't deserve and apparently nobody else deserved either but you. And then the one that comes to mind with this week's reading, it just reminds me of a kiddie poster in about the second grade. Hang in there. But the one from this week's reading is having an attitude of gratitude. First of all, gratitude, it's not an attitude, it's an action. Second, the phrase just really drives me crazy. So on to the readings and how gratitude is actually an action of our faith. So first we have Naaman, commander, great commander of the army of the king of Aram, and he has leprosy, not so much fun. And his wife's handmaid, a slave captured in war, an Israelite, a nobody, suggests that if Naaman goes to see the prophet Elijah, in the other kingdom that they're at war with, Israel, Elisha, this prophet, can probably cure him. So Naaman goes off to find Elisha living in Samaria. Hold on to that, we'll come back to it. And when Naaman gets to Samaria, to Elisha's house, Elisha doesn't even come out and greet him. He just sends out a messenger to this great and important man, who tells Naaman to go and wash in the Jordan 7 times. And Naaman is put off that Elisha, the lowly prophet, won't even come out and see him, his great man, and offer him the hospitality and the respect that his position should have in those days. Really, the hospitality is super true. And so because of that, he rejects all that Elisha has said. We have rivers in Aram that are just as great as this puny Jordan. Until Naaman's servant points out, excuse me, boss, that what Elisha suggested is really easy. And if Elisha suggested something super hard, Naaman would be all over it. So maybe Naaman should just go do the super easy thing and just go wash in the Jordan 7 times. And so Naaman does. And Naaman is cleansed and healed. And in return, Naaman comes to know the God of Israel, the God, and he praises God's name before Elisha and all of his troops. Naaman is searching for healing. Naaman is told by the messenger that he has to go and actively participate in his healing, not some Elijah walks out and poof, you're good to go, which is what Naaman expected. No, he has to participate it. And it takes the whole community, the handmaid, the messenger, Elisha, it takes the servant, all, this whole community around Naaman to nudge him in the direction for healing to happen. And then when it does, Naaman returns and actively gives thanks, actively practices gratitude to the great God of Israel. And this Old Testament story, it has parallels in today's gospel. If you read the inside of your bulletin while you were waiting for church to start, you already know this. Jesus, where we find him today, he's in the borderlands. He's just done all of this teaching that we've been hearing for the last who knows how many weeks, and he is now moving from Galilee towards Jerusalem, and he is in this in-between land between the Galilee and Samaria. Where was Elijah? Samaria. And so 10 lepers who are on the outside of the town, because that's the only place lepers were allowed to be, they approach Jesus. Now, normally a leper, when they approach someone, has to say, unclean, unclean, so the other person will not get ritually defiled. And yet these lepers instead approach Jesus and ask for healing. Have mercy on us. And Jesus doesn't touch them, doesn't spit on them, doesn't bathe them. Jesus tells them to go. Go and see the priests. And they do. And then they are healed. And 9 of them run off in joy because they got theirs. So they're off to, another phrase that should be retired, they're off to live their best lives. But one returns. One of the healed people gets it and understands what happened and understands how God's community has worked to heal him in his life. And that person returns to Jesus and praises God in front of everybody. And what is more, this isn't some generic Israelite. It's a Samaritan. So much like Naaman, who was from the warring country next door, is this man who many would believe isn't even worthy of Jesus' time, and yet Jesus doesn't care. God's healing is for everyone. And so in our gospel today, people search for healing. They are told to actively participate to make their healing come about. And it takes the community for it to happen. Jesus and the priests and the crowds gathered. And in response, there is an act of thanksgiving, an act of gratitude. And Naaman and these lepers who were considered unclean and therefore should be separated, are healed and literally brought into the center of community. Now, a word on healing before we hit gratitude. We often expect healing to be physical healing, like the miracle that we see with Naaman and the lepers today. And we are so busy focused on whether we are healed or not physically that we miss the healing that God may be doing. We miss the transformations that may be taking place in other parts of our life, especially in our spiritual life. These healed people just don't become closer to God. They don't just come to truly know God in this moment. They become active, verbal members of God's community. This could be a plug for adult ed and how we talk about our faith, but it's not. You see, healing takes many forms. Healing might be the transformation of relationships that come about when we are in our toughest moments. Healing might be how we decide we want to interact and engage with one another now that we have been on the side of sickness. Healing may come about because of prayer that we have allowed other people to be a part of. Healing may be because the community is involved and holding you up, and you realize that you cannot go this alone, and that God is found in that community. You may pray for physical healing and instead have your faith healed. It's kind of like in Go Fish when you draw. Got what I wanted, didn't get what I wanted, you still got something. But healing may be having a damaged relationship repaired or even a new path forward revealed. There are so many transformations that can happen when we include our community of faith, just as Naaman was forced to, and the one leper came back and did himself. Healing takes not just our participation, but it is an act of those gathered. And the response that comes from healing radiates out into the greater community and actually engages others and can transform their lives also. And that is why gratitude is an action. In our acting on our thanks, we then spread that out to others, and it is something that can be contagious. Gratitude, it is an act of faith. It is expressing thanks. It is sharing the thanksgiving so that that expression of God's love can be given to others. And the reason that I make the point that gratitude is an action and not a perspective on this particular Sunday is that it fits with the first letter you received this week about grace in action, our theme for stewardship this year. And if you are watching online or this is your first Sunday at St. Cross, that is great. You don't have to worry as much about this, but we do ask you to stay engaged. But we are talking about how do we see grace, at God's grace, active in our life. And in this, it's easy to think that our faith is an attitude. Our faith is an outlook. It's a pair of glasses that we put on from time to time. It's a perspective. And while faith might have aspects of all of those, most of all, our faith is lived out in action. Every day, our faith should be an action as we pray, an action as we serve others as a sign of God's love, an action in how we support one another with healing or any other need in our community. Acting our faith is not always easy. And it's easy to make excuses like Naaman as to why we don't have to participate in faithful action that we are called into. It's easy to be the nine who got what they wanted and went on their merry way without a further thought. But I wonder as an act of faith, what would it look like to use the act of prayer as we sit with a pledge card that was sent to us, what if we were to sit with that as a spiritual exercise and consider what needs to be healed in our relationship with money? Do we give more to Starbucks or the wine store than to God's work? Do we give out of our leftovers every month or out of our first fruits? Do we fear that no matter how much we give, we won't have enough because scarcity has infected our souls? Or do we give more than we can afford because we're ashamed of our financial realities? And reflecting on these questions, I invite you, before filling out a pledge card 3 weeks from now, to sit with it. Put it in a place where you will see it and remember to pray to God, to be in a conversation, and to ask Jesus to heal you of any ill health you may have with money. And I'd say in our society, we all have some work to do on that. Ask Jesus to show you the cleansing actions that you need to take. And then, this is the hard part, I encourage you to be obedient to what you hear. Sometimes, just like those 9 lepers, we are so used to living with ill health that we are unaware of how it affects every aspect of our lives until we find healing. And when we do find healing, when our hearts and our minds and our souls are cleansed, we must simply respond in gratitude and praise God. For what other response could there possibly be? Amen.